This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Mark Walters is with us. He's a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. He also, for the last decade, has hosted a show called Armed America Radio, which now airs on 260 stations in the United States. We will talk with him about what's going on in our world, and the president is going to travel to Dayton and El Paso, two cities, great cities, that were victimized by terrorist acts over the weekend as mass shootings took place in Texas and in Ohio. Today's lead story in the New York Times says congressional Republicans, under intense pressure to respond to last weekend's massacres, are coalescing around legislation to help law enforcement take guns from those who pose an imminent danger, a measure that, if signed into law, would be the most significant gun control legislation enacted in 20 years. Such red flag laws might not be as momentous or controversial as the now-expired assault weapons ban or the instant background check system, both of which were enacted in 1994 as part of President Clinton's sprawling crime bill. The House, under Democratic control, passed for ambitious legislation in February that would require background checks for all gun purchasers, including those at the internet, on the internet, or at gun shows, and extend waiting limits for would-be gun buyers flagged by the instant check system. Those bills have run into a blockade from Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the Senate. The GOP has a majority in the United States Senate. And in Louisiana, so far, no GOP members of Congress have come forward to say they are in favor of more gun regulation. In fact, some have come out and said exactly the opposite of that, including Garrett Graves, who appeared at the press club of Baton Rouge on Monday. Mark Walters, as you can imagine, is an advocate of the Second Amendment. But does the Second Amendment have limits, Mark?
That's a broad question. I think, you know, of course it does. I mean, I think everything has limits. Of course, the First Amendment has limits. Second Amendment has limits, too. I'd like to focus on, for example, what you were just talking about in your opening segment there with the background checks, for example, and expanded background checks. It's important people understand what limits we're talking about here, and I want to put it in perspective for them. Every mass killer that we can name over the last 15 or 20 years has passed background checks. Dayton, Ohio, passed background check. El Paso, background check. California, background check. Aurora, background check. Florida, background check. I go on and on and on. The background checks that the Democrats passed in the House that you were referring to are what they refer to as expanded background checks. What that does is applies a background check to a private transaction between, Jim, maybe you and I. We're hunting buddies or friends.
All right.
Or
well, let's stop there. Why would that be a bad idea, Mark?
There's no way to enforce it. It's completely unenforceable. How does the government know that you got a background check? That I got a background check for you. The reason that we oppose universal background checks is because we understand what it is. It's a stepping stone. It's a foot in the door for registration. What's going to come next after a quote-unquote universal background check is, well, this isn't working. We don't know that anybody's giving background checks because we don't know where everybody's guns are. In order for this to be effective, we have to register every firearm. And we know that's what the next step is.
All right. Well, we register our vehicles, cars, why not guns?
A gun is the constitutional right. I have a right to protect myself with a firearm, and a firearm is a right that I possess.
Why would registration, Mark, impede that right?
Registration leads to confiscation. We know it. We've seen it every time it's been tried.
You're absolutely certain of that. That's a leap, and you might be right, but it's not necessarily something that would be inherent in any legislation. It would just mean you have to register your guns.
It might not be inherent in that legislation. We're concerned about the future legislation and what may come after that. History has shown us in every country that there's ever been a registration scheme, it's always led to confiscation. And we don't want to get to that point, that quote-unquote, I hate to use the phrase, but I will, that slippery slope in America. We are free people. And Americans, and you know, you mentioned this is a great opportunity to talk about this. You mentioned the background checks, the NICS and everything since 1994. This didn't happen in this country prior to 1994. This didn't happen when I went to high school. We didn't have these issues. I wasn't worried about going to school and a mass shooter. This is a fairly recent phenomenon. And prior, and I can assure you, I graduated high school prior to 1994. I graduated in 1980. And you didn't have 3-day, 4-day, 5-day, 10-day wait periods. Guns have always been woven into the fabric of American society. We need to take this example and find out, why is this happening in America today? What is happening to the fabric of our nation that 21-year-old young men, 24-year-old young men in the case of Dayton, Ohio, are doing this? And I would like to take just a brief opportunity, if I could, to mention Dayton, Ohio. My entire extended family is from Dayton, Ohio. My wife's family is from Dayton, Ohio. I have over 80 cousins that live in and around Dayton. My parents grew up there. My wife's parents grew up there. Every Thanksgiving and Christmas since I was born has been spent in Dayton, Ohio. Funerals and family reunions have all been spent in Dayton, Ohio. I've been in that Oregon district. I've been in Ned Pepper's. My sister-in-law knew the killer. As a professional photographer, it turns out that she took his high school photographs, graduation photographs. This is personal for me, but I don't desire to, my gosh, let me get the guns out of my safe and give them to Joe Biden is not going to stop this next attack.
All right, we do want to cover some ground with Mark Walters. You can tell he's a sincere man and a well-spoken one, and he is, like many others in the gun lobby, digging in, saying that this is not the reason to change laws, expand laws. What do you think? 877-217-5757 is your number. And you can send us an email, of course, at talk@talklouisiana.org. What about safety training for guns? So we have that for cars as well. What would be wrong with making sure that people who have guns know how to use them?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. In fact, there's many, many organizations out there that work with firearms training. I work with some of the greatest firearms instructors in the country. We encourage every gun owner. And, you know, you'd be surprised. I'll give you an example. Arizona passed constitutional carry back in 2010. I was out there when that passed. I was out there when Governor Jan Brewer signed that legislation. And all of the trainers out there at the range I was at were petrified. Oh, my gosh, we don't have to have state-mandated training to get a permit anymore. Their classes are filled. I think we do a disservice. Law-abiding Americans are responsible. Gun classes, training classes across the country are filled to the brim. Instructors can't get there. The
all right,
classes
but you probably would not like a law saying that you had to
of
have
training. Of course not.
You say, of course not. Why of course not?
Right. Most states to get a permit have some type of training requirement anyway. We do not have a training requirement in Georgia, and I'll tell you what most people don't think about it in these terms. A lot of people get a state training class to get a concealed carry permit. If it requires them to fire the gun at all, it requires them to fire maybe 4 or 5 rounds at a plate, you know, 10 feet, 15 feet down. These people think they've gotten training. They haven't.
All right. I didn't mean to cut you short, but we do have a lot of people, as you can imagine, who want to opine on this issue and may agree or disagree with what you're saying, Mark. Mark Walters, articulate man and host of Armed America Radio on 260 stations in North America. Let's go to Andy in Goodwood, who's been waiting patiently. Andy, you're on the air with Mark.
Good morning. I own guns. And I've owned guns that we're talking about, assault rifles, or what I call black guns. I don't own them anymore. There's no use for them, period. Why can't we just make people who own guns like me get a license to own it? We're not talking about making a registry of the guns. We're talking about making a registry of the people who own the guns.
All right. That's a fair question, Mark.
Sure, and it is a fair question, but let me address two parts of that first. The fact that you feel you don't need them, I think that's great. If you feel you don't need them, you don't have to own them. We're not pushing you to own anything that you are not comfortable owning. The fact that I choose to own them is not anybody's concern. They're my guns. I have a right to own them. They hurt no one, and that's the difference between
they
you
hurt
and there's nothing
no
wrong
one.
With that.
They hurt no one?
My guns hurt no one. My guns have hurt absolutely nobody ever, and they never will unless they try to break in my
but
house or steal my car.
You know as I do that those guns have hurt other people when they're used by people who are up to no good, and they can do things they can do things that other types of weapons cannot. They're weapons
Jim,
of war.
No, they're not weapons of war. Our troops don't carry AR-15s into war. They carry M4 fully automatic M16 weapons.
All right. Well, what other use is there for an assault weapon other than to kill another human?
Ask the end of 64-year-old veteran in Ocala, Florida, just last week, who killed 2 people out of 4 that broke into his home with shotguns wearing Jason masks. He used an AR-15 to do that. If he had a pistol, he'd be dead. I'm glad he's alive. I'm glad that man's alive. Let me address the second part of his question as well, as far as licensing. To believe that it would stop a crime, you would have to believe, or I think his name was Andy. Andy would have to believe that the criminals are sitting around the criminal's den today thinking, oh, man, I got to get licensed now. These laws only affect law-abiding people who follow the law. This isn't about stopping crime. Licensing my gun isn't stopping crime in Chicago.
All right, we've got 400 million guns in America, more guns than we have people, but as a listener noted yesterday, according to some statistics, fewer than 25%, around 22% of Americans actually have those guns. So a lot of people have a lot of guns, and most, like Mark, are law-abiding citizens who feel they need those guns to protect themselves, their family, and maybe they just like to have guns. They are certainly beautiful things to look at, but they're not so beautiful when they're fired and kill people who are innocent civilians. What do you think? 877-217-5757. We'll return with Mark Walters, host of Armed America Radio on 260 stations. We're back in 90 seconds on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. 877-217-5757. Nancy in St. Francisville, you are on the air with Mark Walters of the Second Amendment Foundation. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have 3 points to make, actually. Mr. Walters said that there were no mass shootings when he was in high school and he graduated in 1980. There were not as many assault weapons. There were no assault weapons in the hands of people.
All right, Nancy, you were fading a bit, but her contention is that there were no mass shootings in 1980 when you graduated from high school because there were not assault weapons of the kind we have now. Is that a valid assessment?
Absolutely not. The M16 variant, the AR-15, was manufactured and invented in the late 1950s. That's absolutely patently false. In fact, and I respect Nancy asking that question. I think Nancy's just misinformed. That's not true. I'm not attacking her. It's not a true statement.
Oh, I was in ROTC and carried an M16, and I didn't see too many of those out on the streets at the time. And I'm about the same age you. I'm about the same age you are.
Yeah, we're both old guys. So the M16s are not out on the street. M16s are fully automatic, and M16 is not available to civilian unless you want to spend huge dollars. It's out of the reach for most Americans.
Sabash at the Country Club of Louisiana. Hi, Sabash. You're on the air with Mark Walters. Hi.
Yes. Hi, good morning, Mr. Inkster. I need about a minute or two to
please be as brief as possible, Sabash.
Okay. Only 25% of Americans think gun ownership is a very important thing. And only 12% of gun owners go for hunting regularly. And there is no reason to own a gun except if you think the whole world is out to get you.
All right. Is that fair that the only reason to have a gun is for either protection, which I think Subhash is saying, and you believe perhaps the world is out to get you, or perhaps you have guns for other reasons?
Yeah, so it's America. We're a free country. You can have guns because you can collect them. You can collect curios or relics, old guns. I have several of those. You can collect them and you can build them, you can make them, you can work on the platforms, you can own them for protection. I used a gun for protection in 2002, and I'm alive today, and my children are not, one son was born, and my wife is not a young widow because I had a firearm one day. So I'll defend that every day. But, I mean, he makes a valid point. Regarding statistics, I can throw you statistics from any side. I don't know where he got his statistics, so I really can't comment on that.
Well, and the statistics have some validity, of course, but if it's a right, it's a right. And the question, I think, is where we draw the line. I think you would agree that you would not be, under the Second Amendment, allowed to have a cannon or nuclear weapons.
The Second Amendment, I think we're getting a little bit. When we see that that's over-the-top rhetoric from politicians who are trying to gin up a base, Jim, quite frankly. It's very clear what the Second Amendment protects. It protects our rights to own firearms, the firearms that were intended at the time to be able to defend the individual and the country. And I think you would agree that the Founding Fathers didn't mean for us to have inferior weaponry, but in fact to have weaponry that was modern sport rifle at the time would be today's AR-15, for example. It's a simple semi-automatic weapon. People don't like the way it looks. because they're not familiar with it and they've been misinformed. Well, the media coverage is over the top.
They have been used to kill lots of people in the United States.
Any gun can kill people. Any gun
but
can kill people.
Those guns are far more efficient than other types of guns. I think you're...
More efficient. No, I'll tell you what, Jim.
You just said it's more efficient a few minutes ago than a pistol.
No, I said all guns are.
No, you said a man used one of those assault weapons to defend himself, and he would have been dead if he had had a pistol. That's what you said.
Absolutely, because of the situation that he was in with multiple attackers.
David in Atlanta, neighbor of Mark Walters. David, you're on the air with Mr. Walters.
Good morning. You say you have guns. If you have an AR-15 or an AK-47, and you said you have a right to own that, you do not. The Supreme Court will not hear appeals from states like California that have banned such weapons. I know the gun manufacturers have used techniques to get around some of that law, but nevertheless, the Supreme Court will tell you that you do not have a right to own an AR-15 or an AK-47.
Mark?
I'm glad you speak for the Supreme Court, sir. The Supreme Court has decided not to hear one of those cases yet because the proper case, they believe, hasn't come up. But you do bring up a great point. The Supreme Court is going to have to hear one of these cases, and under the decision that was rendered by Scalia and Heller, that are in common use at the time, the AR-15 is the single most popular rifle in common use in America today.
What do you make, Mark, of some Republicans, like the governor of Ohio, Mr. DeWine, even the president of the United States the other day? He tweeted that he was in favor of background checks. I don't know if he'll follow through. And now some members of Congress are saying we've got to take a look at this. I don't know if that carries over to the Louisiana delegation, but it is a time in which there may be some movement on this issue. Are you going to fight it with every weapon, and I speak figuratively here, every weapon you have at your disposal to fight this legislation?
No, I think you're – first of all, let me agree with you. I think you're correct. In fact, the president was speaking while you were on the air. You may not have seen it, but he was giving a little talk to the press before he headed to Dayton, Ohio. And background checks are on the table. They've always been on the table, but I think you're going to see some movement. To what degree, I don't know. I would simply, when I report about background checks, advise people to know that criminals don't get background checks, or the criminals that we've seen recently – this phenomenon of mass shooters pass background checks. It's not going to stop anything. It's going to impact law-abiding citizens, but it simply will not stop. Again, you would have to be naive enough to believe that the criminals sitting around, who are the vast majority of gun crimes in this country, by the way, these are not, while they get tremendous coverage. Chicago, for example, St. Louis, Baltimore, Detroit, these are the vast majority of killings are gang-related. We know where they occur, and they occur daily in America. Four people not too far from me shot in a gang-related event just yesterday.
And in Louisiana, we live in the most murderous state per capita in the United States, and it's been that way for many years running. We're talking like 30 years in a row because of the high murder rates in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and other urban centers in our state. We have the highest per capita murder rate of any state in America, much higher than does the city of Chicago. 877-217-5757, Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana, and I think you're going to have to put – there you go. Dan, good morning. Hi, Dan.
Yes. Yeah, hi. Is there an inconsistency in the Supreme Court's originalist approach to allowing guns, yet the Constitution was enacted during the days of swords and muskets?
All right. Is this a new day, Mark Walters? Dan has a point. When the Constitution was written and the Second Amendment was ratified, it was much different than it is today. Mark Walters, your response. Are you there, Mark?
I am, yes. Yeah, Dan, thanks for the question. You hear that a lot. I would have to say that I guess the same thing would apply to your computer that they couldn't envision.
I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark. You said it wouldn't apply to the computer. Matt, go ahead. Oh, let's see. Let's see if we can get him back, and the number again is 877-217-5757, and talk at talklouisiana.org. And a reminder that a bit later we'll be talking with former Governor Edwin Washington Edwards, if things go according to plan, celebrating his 92nd birthday with us. 877-217-5757. Matt, I think we have a chance to get somebody in before the break. And let's go to Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Phil. Let's put Phil up, Matt. No, and there you go. Phil, good morning. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Jim, and thanks for doing this. I know it's really a heavy, controversial subject. But I have an idea as far as the millions of weapons that are out there. If manufacturers changed the bore on a gun that would be legal, then all the ammunition and all those models would become obsolete and could not be used, because once the ammunition would run out, someone wouldn't be able to get bullets for an AK-47. So that's one way to render those guns harmless, as they shouldn't be out there anyway.
All right. Thank you for your suggestion. 877-217-5757. We'll spend a few more minutes on this topic, and then if things go according to plan, we'll hear from the former governor, Edwin Washington Edwards, born on this date in 1927, the year of the Great Flood in Marksville. Now the news on 89.3 with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. And a few more minutes with the issue of the day, with the president heading off to Dayton and to El Paso. Two tragedies, multiple people killed in both of those locations by gunmen with assault weapons. And Mark Walters, our guest with Armed America Radio, believes that we should keep things the way they are. Let's go to Mike on Stephendale. Mike, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Mike, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Your guest states that he's alive because he was able to defend himself with a weapon. In 1986, I was robbed at gunpoint with an Uzi, and I didn't have a weapon. And my personal experience was that if I had had a weapon, I would have forced a choice on my aggressor, and I was able to comply and survive because I didn't force that choice. What does he think about that?
Okay, well, he is not with us, but and I don't know the circumstances of him defending himself, but I do believe that sometimes guns can be used to thwart people up to no good, but we have 400 million guns in America. Garrett Graves, the congressman, is right. And at the same time, our country is getting less and less physically fit. And most of these guns are owned by men, and most of them are not in very good shape. And they feel that they have to have a gun to protect themselves and their family. And I think it'd be a lot better society if we spent more time at gymnasiums rather than at firing ranges. But thank you for your observation, and I'm glad you're alive and well to talk about it, Mike and Stephendale. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Christina in Port Allen. Hi, Christina, and Matt, you're going to have to pull her up. Matt Doyle? Matt, let's go to line two with Christina. Christina, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Christina. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to, I love this show, but today, Mr. Inkster, I think your bias is showing a little more than usual on this topic. I'm still undecided, but I do think you need to tone it down on your bias. It's very prevalent. Thank you.
Well, don't go away. Don't go away. I think you can hear me and understand that I'm frustrated like most Americans, and I believe even our guest, Mark Walters, who left us, is frustrated about this as well. It's just a question of how we address it, and I don't want to have obfuscation and things that are thrown in the way when it's apparent that we have an issue that needs to be talked about in a logical, rational way. What would you suggest, Christina?
I don't have a suggestion. I just could see the bias. That's all I wanted to say today, Mr. Inkster.
Well,
thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening, and I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. And it's very nice to talk with Christina, who believes that I've gotten carried away in my discussion with Mark Walters, and she's probably right. On this issue, I do have a bias, but I think our guest also had a bias, and he expressed himself very well. Chuck and Scott. Hi, Chuck. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, Jim. I have a lot of guns. I am also very physically fit, so hopefully I won't express a bias. But what I know is until people stop trying to defend their position and listen to all the positions, we're not going to solve this problem. During the time of the Second Amendment's writing, mental health was not understood like it is today. The future technology was not understood. So keep going back to that is a little bit obfuscating. And all I would say is that we've got to listen. In Texas, they have some of the most liberal gun laws, and a very tragic incident occurred in El Paso where people open carry and there are many guns, and that did not stop that incident. So we've got to listen. We've got to talk it out. Thank you so much for doing this show. Right. I don't think you show a bias.
All right. Well, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate your kind words. And, you know, the other day, Garrett Graves, in his comments before the press club, he dug in his heels. And, of course, most members of our congressional delegation have received ample amount of money from the National Rifle Association. As I noted, Bill Cassidy has received more than $1 million from the gun lobby to express their point of view. And money talks. Members of Congress are beholden to the gun lobby in many ways. And in this case, we had a good law, according to some, in 1994, passed in the Clinton administration, that was largely undone. And has the result been good? I think we could agree that it has not. And some of us would say we need more laws, and others would say, like Mark Walters, he would say more laws are not the answer. Daryl Hunt writes, your guest made a valid point posing the question of about the fabric of our country. The same question could be posed in regard to the troubling jump in suicides in the country. Not long after the election of President Obama, some 20,000 people, mainly white men, most armed, attended an anti-Obama rally in Northern Virginia. GOP congressional leaders had no reaction, according to our guest here. Daryl, I'm reading his email. What would be their reaction if a similar rally were held today, except instead of white men, it was heavily armed African-American men expressing their opposition to President Trump? That's a good point from Daryl Hunt. But there are Democrats who are strong defenders of the Second Amendment, and one of them is the governor of our state, John Bel Edwards, who has been forthright in his support of all gun legislation that has come before him, and he has signed it. And he says if more comes, he quite likely will sign other laws allowing guns in Louisiana to be prevalent. We love our guns, but we also have the most murderous state, largely through guns, in the United States. Edwin Edwards, our 92-year-old guest, he may be sleeping late today. And instead of Edwin, we have his noted biographer, one Leo Baxter Honeycutt, the man who wrote the best-selling book in the history of Louisiana publishing, the biography, the authorized biography of Edwin Washington Edwards. Leo, I'm sure it's quite a day for our governor, and perhaps at 92 he has a right to sleep till 9:40 in the morning.
Well, but we shouldn't let him do that. Let's go down there and just kick his butt out of bed. What do you say?
I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Well, if you're turning 92, chances are you're probably going to want to sleep in today, too.
Well, I just want to turn 92. Let's get there first, and then I'll decide whether I want to sleep in. But I have a feeling I'm going to be sleeping 24 hours a day when I'm 92, and it'll be 6 feet under. But the governor of Louisiana, 16 years he led our state. As I noted in the lead-in today, only two other governors in the modern era in America have served that long, George Wallace of Alabama and Jerry Brown of California. And Edwin Washington Edwards knew them both, and you could say, in a way, all three in their own way have been controversial people. How did he survive the way he did in the troubled and sometimes tortured world of Louisiana politics?
Well, he did it, I think, first off with humor. A lot of people, of course, demonized him because of his certain beliefs, and because of some of that humor and trying to gloss over some pretty serious issues. However, I believe that he really used humor to try to get things done. We're so polarized today, Lord knows we need some kind of humor. And there's one thing that those of us in the press who covered him starting back in the 1970s, we could always, even though we may not have liked him, and there was certainly a long time there that I did not like him, we always knew he was good for a quote. We always just waited to see what he was going to say that we could headline with, because we knew it was going to be funny or poignant, or it was going to be usually spot on with regard to whatever the issue was. But it was just how sharp his mind was and how quickly he could retort. Now, he could cut people, especially in the press, down to size very quickly, and we didn't like that. But at the end of the day, you could see his methodology was really one of where he would listen to the other side. He would crack a joke someplace, and it would usually break the ice, and then something could get done. Today, it's like nobody's finding anything funny, and they just polarize to one side or the other, and it becomes a tug of war and one of attrition. And I think that's what you have both here in Baton Rouge as well as in Washington.
Well, he was a survivor, and as we know, he went to jail for 8.5 years, and most people at 75 would view that as a life sentence. He viewed it as just a temporary setback, and now, Leo, he has been out longer than he was in.
Well, that's right. That goes to show you the degree of resiliency that you could depend on this guy for. And I believe, really, truly, if people were to read the book, and it's amazing to me the number of people who say they have reread it and they like it because it sort of it brings back the memories of their own childhood and adulthood because of different things that happened in Louisiana. I really think that it's more of a biography of the state than it is necessarily of Edwin Edwards. But if you read that book, and especially if you read the investigation and trial chapter, you'll see that that trial was virtually unconstitutional. And it was guided by a federal judge who just took his power under his own wing and decided that he was going to determine the outcome, and that's exactly what he did. Was it legal? Well, it passed muster in the appellate court. But I think if you really look at it, Bible scholars have looked at it even as far away as Harvard Law, and they've said, well, this probably broke some laws to get him convicted. So I think if you read the book, you'll see that it was questionable at best.
We've got a few seconds left before we part, Leo, but I know tomorrow the former governor will be roasted by several people. I think you put that together. What's going to happen, briefly?
Well, it's really the Baton Rouge Roundtable is doing it. It's a closed group, but it's just a couple of people are going to be there to basically
a
sing
couple?
Happy birthday for 92 years and go after it.
Well, he's 92 years old, and he has a 41-year-old wife. In fact, she turns 41 on the 19th of this month, Bill Clinton's birthday. And happy 92nd to Edwin Washington Edwards. And we'll return with Caroline Mace after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana.